sip. Let's tune into Brad and Brit.
It's the Brad and Brit cast. Thank you for joining us. We are live in the 1:30 hour Wednesday on Facebook and other platforms if they haven't collapsed yet. If they have, what's the difference?
Did you see the game 7 got like 12 million viewers on Monday night between the Celtics and the Heat? Because there was like nothing on. There's nothing on at the end of a holiday weekend, right?
I don't think that would be why someone would default. No, you can't accidentally watch something like that. It was like an interesting matchup. It was, you know, the deal. I don't have to tell you.
Well, the only thing that beats the DVR is live sports, and that was the by far biggest thing, you know, on a day when people were like, I got nothing else to do. It's the end of the weekend. I'm getting ready to go back to work tomorrow. Oh, here, I don't know.
You don't understand the way the world is moving right now. I'm sure there were like 5 live soccer games on somewhere. Right.
Yeah, I'm sure they were. I don't know if they were able to attract this huge audience.
Oh, yeah, so this is just a – when you see mainstream American television.
Right.
Mainstream – I'm not talking about ESPN Soccer Today, but regular sports on NBC or when they like to talk about sports on the Morning Joe show, go for 15 minutes talking about the English soccer league.
Well, it's a big
now. What does that now? Does that tell you? Of course, I know you don't care about it. I know I don't care about it. But are they ahead of the curve, or are they just talking to themselves so far? I think they're just talking to themselves so far.
I think there's a little bit of that. Like they're just trying to be too hip, you know. And especially if you're in the demographic of the Morning Joe listener, I find it a little hard to believe that they're into like what's happening over at Tottenham. I find that. But also, you and I have never really been. I mean, we are, and yet not in touch with what mainstream America is. You and I are not big NCIS fans.
We are, Britt. Stop it. We have been left in the dust.
I mean,
it's time to acknowledge it.
Jesus, you and I, technically and demographically, you and I should be hooked on Blue Bloods or anything that's on CBS at 8 o'clock.
Can I dial us back 24 hours?
Right,
because you cheap shotted me on my choice of buying Skechers, not the old man Skechers supposedly that you think they are, the ones that you can just step into without having to tie them, which are being advertised heavily. And I didn't want those. I don't want them. I'm not interested. I bought regular Skechers. They're nice shoes. They're like any sneaker that you wear most of the time, and you said that that's an old man. Tony Romo is the number one spokesman for that. He is not old. He is younger than you, Britt. He's significantly younger than you.
He is, okay? But hasn't he been retired for like 5 years?
From football, but he's not dead. He's got a pretty good gig last time I checked. So
what I said and what I stand by is that Skechers is kind of the official shoe of Caucasian suburban America. And I stand by that. And I'm here to represent it. One of the last pairs of flip-flops I bought was a pair of Skechers, and they've got the gel in them, and they're kind of my crap shoes for mowing the grass. And here I am. I'm Mr. Suburban Caucasian guy mowing my grass in a Pearl Jam shirt and Skechers slip-ons. And I'm a fucking cliche. I admit it. I freely admit it.
All right. Let's pick up on something that we alluded to on the previous podcast and didn't get to it. I want to get to it first. And then we can move on to the regularly scheduled drivel. And I headlined it by saying, this is the stupidest thing in the world of stupid things.
Right.
And here it is. And you know how we're skeptical of a lot of surveys, especially these ones that talk about ranking the 50 states on X. And then when you look what their criteria is, it's always unbelievably thin. This is the all-time thinnest of them all. And I caught this on Tuesday morning, early Tuesday. Okay. This is a survey done, research done on the most loved consumer brands from every state.
I saw your post on this, and it was okay. It was pretty good.
Okay. First of all, you know, this is something you and I have never heard of. In fact, no one has ever heard of this research company or website. They're called On Deck. I thought that was a bad show on TV. Well, that's Below Deck, right?
Yeah. Now, I think this is an important thing to note, because you will hear people throw shit at you all the time and say, this restaurant was named the best restaurant in Raleigh. And it's like, by whom? This blank was named the best. And you're like, who the fuck did this? By like a survey of monkeys? What? Who the fuck did that?
This is a survey of monkeys, Britt. This could be the stupidest thing ever. It reeks of something randomly spit out by some artificial intelligence computer that is drunk. It's unrepresentative sampling. And you know what that means. It means it's really invalid. And you know why it's invalid? It goes back to the 300 times where we've made fun of a headline of a story that begins like this. Twitter says X. Twitter says blank. Twitter says someone's stupid. Twitter says that's the worst thing that's ever happened. Okay, Twitter doesn't speak. Twitter is not a person. And Twitter, even in its most generous interpretation, is not a random cross-section of Americans. So this website that says they're a financial services website made a list of each state's most loved local brand. Okay, you already got a problem. Okay, yeah. Local brand across a state is already suspect, because there are lots of local brands in particular cities, in particular states, that no one knows about in other parts of that state. So already you're starting to skate on thin ice. They looked, and I swear this is how they did this, they looked at the Twitter reach of brands. So if a brand is not active on Twitter, they're out of the running, okay? And they looked to see what percentage of mentions on Twitter about a particular brand were positive. Twitter's not real, right? Twitter is now owned by Elon Musk. It wasn't real before. Now it's even
less
worse, right? So you have a self-selected group of people who might say, oh, I like this restaurant or something like that, just like you mentioned a moment ago, and suddenly it's a popular restaurant. Everybody likes it. Well, not necessarily. And when you look at what they did, they put up a map and they've got every state and what's the favorite local brand in each state. This is so stupid. I'm sorry that I fell for this and I'm going crazy over it. Let's start with North Carolina. And they say that Cheerwine is the most popular local brand. In other words, it has to be a company that is headquartered in that state for it to be a local brand, to be considered a local brand. So Cheerwine's, all right. No, Cheerwine's great. Cheerwine's fine. But so what? I mean, it's just right.
As a person who's lived in North Carolina more than half a century now.
Yes, yes, yes.
Cheerwine's a little overrated. I mean,
it's our favorite local brand.
There are people that are fanatical about it. I have two things. First of all, they've introduced an alcoholic version of it. I don't know if you've seen this recently. You can go into the store and you can get like a hard version of this.
So if you go in and ask for a drunk Dr. Pepper, is that what they do?
This is also, that's hand in hand, again, helping out the diabetes of North Carolina. North Carolina is everywhere. They've got the Bojangles tea that's now spiked that you can get in the stores.
You look around the country and Cheerwine almost makes sense comparatively, because at least Cheerwine, you can buy it everywhere in North Carolina, right? Everybody in the state sort
pretty
of
much. Yeah, but pretty much. The other thing I'll tell you is they had a Cheerwine festival in Salisbury where it was born and all this shit. And I fell for this. They did this on one of our local news stations. They go, A lot of people are upset at the Cheerwine Festival. We'll have details when we come back. And they teased it twice through two commercial breaks. And they finally got into it. A lot of folks were very upset because it was very crowded. There wasn't a lot of space. And there were too many people in a very small area in Salisbury. And
so that's the Yogi Berra. It's the restaurant's too crowded, so no one goes there anymore.
This was the huge problem. I mean, if you can go to, you can talk about any festival in North Carolina where they just cram people into a 4-block area, and it's miserable. But no, this is a huge problem, and a lot of people are very upset. Right. Coming up next on Fox 8.
This is the one, and this is the one I really know well, is so pathetic. And if you look at the map, you know, something called Taco John's is Wyoming.
Yeah.
That's what Taco John's is. Pizza Inn in Texas. Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Omaha Steaks is Nebraska. Okay, we'll give them that one.
But they're all over the country. You can get them.
Budweiser is the number one favorite brand, or at least it was until they went woke in Missouri.
I'm sorry, right? Bud, I'm not familiar with that. What is Budweiser? Yeah.
All right, but so Ohio.
All right.
They say that the favorite local brand in Ohio is something called Acme Fresh Market. Acme, you know, like the company that sends the coyote all the shit in the Roadrunner cartoons. Sure. Acme
was kind of the original Amazon, if you think about it.
Yeah. Okay. Acme is a grocery store chain. Of course, they have stores in Cleveland, Columbus, Dayton, Cincinnati. So they're not. No. The Acme Fresh Market chain is 16 different locations in 4 counties in Northeast Ohio. That's it. In other words, 95% of Ohioans don't even live anywhere where they could like Acme Markets that much. This is bullshit. In fact, my friend Jeff Sherman, who lives in Cleveland, he says, I've lived here my whole life. I've never fucking heard of Acme Markets. Okay. He's so right. You just can't do this.
I don't know. On Deck says it's real. On Deck has done some serious research into this, guys.
Yeah. And for instance, you know, back to North Carolina, something like Texas Pete's, which is made in Winston-Salem, that's a pretty favorite brand around the state. There are many different examples of that. Okay. And last but not least, Florida. All right. They write the word, and you know the logo, you've seen it a million times. Chewy, the pet food supply by delivery company, and they're based in Plantation, Florida. Plantation is a city on the western side of Broward County, okay? And somehow that means that people all over Florida supposedly like Chewy more than they do anything else. I submit to you that the fact that they're located, their headquarters, in Florida has absolutely no relationship to the like by people of Chewy. Nobody fucking cares where they're located. They got warehouses all over the country. It's like Amazon.
Well, it's like Budweiser. It's like you get a Budweiser anywhere.
Exactly. It's ubiquitous. So it's no. And far be it for me to say that Disney, I know before they started grooming kids, but Disney might be sort of the favorite brand in Florida. But you know what? That wouldn't count because, the Walt Disney Company is headquartered in Burbank, California. So they couldn't even say Disney was their favorite, even if, 100,000 people work for Disney and, they have a huge presence. Therefore, that's 7 of 8,000 different things about this survey that pissed me off and got me to bite and go crazy here.
I'm looking at what the fuck is this in Wisconsin is play school? What the fuck? Grubhub in Illinois?
First of all, Wisconsin, everybody has got to know it's Kohler toilets. Everybody's got to know that that's their favorite brand because they eat all that fucking cheese and they're just shitting their brains out.
That makes sense.
Locally made Kohler toilet. Come on.
New York, of course, Calvin Klein.
Yeah, right. Sure.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, we got to stop this or we'll go through 50 states. We got
to
stop.
I wanted to see Intel is California. I would have thought like In-N-Out Burger would have been California. Jesus Christ.
No. Okay, nobody thinks of a company that makes silicon chips is their favorite brand. But again, we can do this with, let's stop. We have to stop.
I'm brand loyal to my chips. I will definitely not. By the way, OnDeck says that they are an online small business lending company in the United States, offices in Chicago, New York, Denver, and huge. South Jordan, Utah. And they're part of Innovo. Have you heard of Innovo? Do you know what that is? Innova. Innova International.
I had it removed from my ass last week at the doctor.
You did. Well, good for you. I'm glad that was a simple procedure.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Possibly the greatest understatement ever made. Chick-fil-A, the only thing worse that they could do is open on Sundays.
Yeah.
Possibly the greatest politician sports bet ever. And now Kaylee isn't Don's type either.
Oh, I saw this. Let's do the Chick-fil-A thing because we hit on this yesterday. They have spoken up for inclusion and dignity and diversity, which has pissed off a lot of folks on the right for some reason or other because they don't believe in those things. And therefore, they're on the shit list.
Yeah, and the truth is, they haven't spoken up for anything.
No.
And it's bad enough that these things start now against corporations. And, you know, I'm Mr. Corporation, as you know.
Yes, corporations are people. They're people.
These things can start with one person taking one mobile phone and taking 30 seconds of video, and the next thing you know, your company is back on its heels and it's lost $10 billion in market cap in the stock market like Target has. Holy God. So here's Chick-fil-A, private company, by the way. And my question here is, if you're a Chick-fil-A lover, you love your Chick-fil-A, right? And you love what you think is their image of being kind of a right-wing Christian holier-than-thou corporation. They are generally intolerant of all the kinds of things that you're generally intolerant of, right? Yeah. Liberalism, wokeism, any kind of ism that you can name. And you are offended by what's going on with Bud Light trying to push their beer onto normal Americans when the truth is all they want is transgender people to drink it. We know that, right? And we have Kohl's and we have Target selling all this filthy merchandise to unsuspecting two-year-olds and two-month-olds, actually.
Yeah.
You're against all that kind of stuff, just like good people, but you love the chicken.
It's good shit.
You love the chicken. So Chick-fil-A, up until this time, had never been a fast food joint where wokeism would go to fry.
I see what you did there. That's good.
Wokeism would go to fry. Not that kind of place. That's not them. All right. But you've now discovered, to your disgust, that, and remember, this is officially based on a completely false premise, that Chick-fil-A has changed something about the way they approach social issues and diversity and equity and inclusion. They have had someone in the position of vice president of that for 2 years, but that position was suddenly discovered last week or 2 days ago by someone.
It was uncovered.
And now it's a thing.
That's hilarious.
Okay. So now if I tell you the facts, you go, right? This is a standard thing with right wingers and conservatives. It doesn't matter if you tell them the facts. Don't worry, Chick-fil-A isn't opening on Sunday. Don't worry, they're not going to have some kind of diversity test that's going to affect the way. It's so dumb. But we have people piling on here. I've never heard of this guy. His name is Joey Monterino. Here's his quote. He's going full Archie Bunker for us here. It's only a matter of time before they start putting tranny semen in the frosted lemonade.
Ah, yeah, that's next for sure.
Yep. And to end this little segment now, who is it that's at the base of every conspiracy in the world, according to right wing? It's George Soros, right?
Oh, I thought you were going to say Jews, but yeah, George Soros.
Well, George Soros, a Jew.
King of the Jews.
Good enough. But good enough. All right. this guy who must be a comedian, this Joey Monroe, he says, at Elon Musk, giving us back Twitter has allowed us to effectively organize and boycott companies where we can do genuine financial damage. That's what he said on my. So you want to talk about out of control. You want to talk about nuts, losing your mind.
Crazy.
This is completely
I agree.
Nuts. This so we really have we now have four prominent companies here. We have Anheuser-Busch, we have Kohl's, we have Target, we have Chick-fil-A. And by the way, think of those four. That is a wide swath of Americana. It really covers just about everything, doesn't it?
I know a guy who is a couple of years younger than me, and he pledges allegiance at the altar of Joe Rogan. He's that kind of guy. And he was a Bud Light
sounds like this is like right out of the Rogan playbook, isn't it?
Well, look, he's had a nightmarish 2023 so far, because he was a Bud Light guy, very faithful to that brand. He was a huge Chick-fil-A guy. And I know that I've seen some of his social media. I know that he has sworn off Bud Light, at least publicly. I don't know if he sneaks one every now and again. What?
That's making a sacrifice. That's just like when Trump the other day on Memorial Day weekend talked about the sacrifice that he has made, equal to all of the soldiers and sailors who are buried all over cemeteries around the world and at Arlington. His sacrifice has been equal to what they've done. And Joe Rogan, by giving up Bud Light, got to say, he's right up there with other American heroes.
Right up there with all. Yeah, no, the guys who are in Arlington got nothing on him. I mean, they're saluting him right now. By the way, you know, if you do go woke, you go broke, and I guess that's why the Little Mermaid movie from Walt Disney did such a bad job over the weekend. I mean, they couldn't make any money off of that film. It's terrible.
So, see, I didn't see what anybody made, like $110 million.
95.
Is that one of those ones where they expected to make 300, so it's a flop? I don't know.
It did very well. It did extremely well.
I don't know what the range now is.
$95 million over a holiday weekend is very good for anybody. I don't care if it's a Marvel movie or whatever. They've done very well.
It depends how it does after that, and it depends how much it costs them to make the thing.
Of course,
I think cost them a half billion to make it. You know,
I think they're going to be okay. I think they'll be all right. So the go woke, go broke. And speaking of Disney, you saw the huge bet here. The Colorado governor has challenged DeSantis in this NBA finals thing. And if the Nuggets actually win the championship, Colorado gets Disney. That is the bet that he has made.
All right. So this is the interesting part of that story to me. Ron DeSantis has not responded. Okay. The bet was made by Jared Polis, the governor of Colorado, and he's good. He's kind of in the bullpen for Democrats as a presidential candidate, should there be the need for one for whatever reason. He's that good, because he just is. All right. So that's a hilarious thing to do right now. But DeSantis, being such a stiff, right, can't respond. He just can't respond. So let's help him out here. I have some ideas on things that he can offer Colorado.
All right.
Should the Rockies.
Nuggets.
I said the Rockies, didn't I?
I'm a
baseball guy, Britt. I'm just a baseball guy.
You were a huge ABA fan. You can't even remember the fucking Nuggets. It's terrible.
Yeah, the Nuggets. In case the Nuggets pull it out. All right, so here are the options. First of all, he could offer them Red Rocks. Right. You could offer them in Florida Pikes Peak, because they don't have any mountains.
No,
not in Florida.
Right.
You could offer them legal weed. They don't have legal weed. Florida needs to chill, don't you think?
I think they really
need to chill. Yeah, you could offer them the Coors Brewing Company, and remember the Coors family. They've been right wing assholes before it was cool.
How have they not moved to Florida? I mean, being the right-wing dicks that they have, how have they not moved to some junk-ass city?
It's the water, Britt. You know, it's the water.
It's the water. Well, they could somehow, the water. They could go down there and suck all the shit out of the Everglades. They don't, you know, they could do something.
That's clean, clear water, not endangered environmentally at all. Florida, by the way, this would come up if DeSantis ever got the nomination. Florida is such an environmental disaster. It's just beyond anything that you can imagine. They've got so many problems in that state. And, of course, a lot of it now is going to have to do with the number of people that keep moving there. You can't keep adding hundreds of thousands of people every year who need utilities and they drink water and all those kind of things. That's just the beginning, but I've been sidetracked. And one more idea to offer: Colorado should the Nuggets win. How about 500,000 tons of dirt harvested from the Rocky Mountains? And you could scrape those suckers. No one would know the difference, right? Mm-hmm. Which would add elevation to the lower third of Florida to help prevent Florida from, as we spoke of environmental disasters a moment ago, to help Florida from being underwater by the year 2100, which I know that's more than 75 years from now, so we'll all be dead, so who cares? But these are just ideas, but I just love the bet. I love the bet. I wonder if there's a corresponding bet between the mayors of Miami and Denver themselves. This doesn't have to be just a governor thing, does it? No.
No.
No. And, of course, the great, great senators in Florida, too.
But like you said, it's hilarious. So obviously, Ron DeSantis, with all of the people skills of Attila the Hun, he's not going to be able to have a glib reaction to this. He's just going to have to go on and keep attacking Donald Trump and doing whatever he's doing.
This doesn't really mean anything that he can't quickly respond or his staff can't quickly respond with something equally clever. He'll do. He'll say, it doesn't even matter. You can have them anyway. Or, say something assholeish like that.
Some assholeish like, the state of Florida has welcomed more than 400,000 former Coloradans to Florida in the past blah, blah, blah years. Right. And we're more than happy. Some shit like that. You could do something assholeish like that.
Yeah. 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 Get back to us in January when you've got 18 inches of snow at your front door. Ha, 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 ha.
Rays against the Rockies in the World Series. Get ready for it.
Yeah.
Not.
Yeah. All right. Possibly the greatest understatement ever made. Who made this? It was made by the guy who is the AI guy. Okay. All these AI guys that are out there, they're talking. And this is the quote. Testimony before the Senate 2 weeks ago. The father, I guess you'd call him, of artificial intelligence, Sam Altman, who's chief executive of OpenAI. Here's his quote: 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 words. If this technology goes wrong, it can go quite wrong. Okay.
Yeah.
That's clean, it's crisp, it's succinct, and it shouldn't give you any hope that this is not the proverbial genie out of the bottle that can never be put back in, not unlike nuclear power, or I don't know what else you compare it to. And shockingly, the world has done a fairly good job on nuclear power and nuclear warfare, because it's only happened once. It was one and done, and we hope it's always that way. But in terms of artificial intelligence, this isn't just governments, right? These are private players, not just in the United States, but around the world. And that's a big, heavy lift, a heavy ask to think that there's going to be some level of responsibility, and this won't fall into the wrong hands, and it won't be used to do unimaginable things that we won't know about until it's too late. So that's the spiel.
It's funny you should mention that, because you know that there's a movie called Oppenheimer that's opening this summer with Robert Downey Jr., July the 21st, and it's all about the race to build the bomb and all of that stuff. So again, it's one of those.
That's pretty interesting timing, don't you think? Thinking that this is let's see if Mr. Altman has a stake in the production of this movie and is going to profit, because people who normally would never go see a movie about some bureaucrat who invented a bomb in his basement, right? Who cares?
Do you know that when Truman was sworn in, he had no idea, but he looked through the desk and there was like a memo about some giant explosive device that literally happened in April of 1945, when he had no idea when they swore him in that there was the existence of this thing. And then like 100 days later, he drops it. Crazy ass shit.
Yeah, nice move.
Nice move. History has judged him harshly. Yeah. Over the years, of all the things that Harry Truman was known for.
It's dropping the bomb and having that annoying daughter playing the piano all the time.
Yeah, just because she sucked at singing. Don't get mad at me, dude.
And he was a haberdasher in Missouri.
Hell of a haberdasher, too.
Nobody knows what a haberdasher is.
No, okay. No one knows.
I thought it was one of the reindeer, you know.
Haberdasher and vixen.
Yeah. Oh, so, shit. You know what this makes a case for? This makes a case for, fuck it, go spend everything you got now. It might not matter, right?
I don't know how we control it or regulate it or do anything. Can't. I don't know.
You can't.
This feels
let me get this straight. We're going to control responsibly, and studied wise people, I'm not going to say wise men, but wise people will come around to a consensus view as to what should be done about artificial intelligence, but in a 75 to 80 or 85%, we need more control of weapons, guns in the United States. We can't make any progress.
Yeah.
We can't do anything forget it. Okay. It's a joke. This guy, sorry, I don't buy one thing that he said. Please, please regulate us. Please, 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 please. He wants to be able to say, I said I wanted regulation, when it squirts away and gets in the hands of bad actors, not just in other countries, but in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Because think of it. It's only been, 2.5 years since we had an attack, a physical attack on the Capitol of the United States. Now, maybe the next time, you don't have to go there and show up and get into a fight. And it looks like a medieval battle. You don't have to do that at all. With artificial intelligence, maybe we'll be the ones that shut down the entire grid of the United States. Let's do that. Let's show who's bought, you know.
That really should frighten people.
Is that where we are? I think it's where we are.
That should frighten people more than like the debt ceiling negotiations and stuff like that. Because that does feel like the end of it all right there. Like this AI shit. I mean, just think back to the misinformation and the disinformation over the 2020 campaign election. Why don't you throw AI in
days? Remember, those are going to be the good old days.
Why don't you throw AI in the middle of that in 2024? I mean, Jesus Christ, forget it.
I mean, have you seen some of the deep fake videos, the newest ones?
Yeah.
Already? There's one where Biden declares nuclear war.
Yeah.
He absolutely declares nuclear war. And fortunately, at least at this point, I mean, maybe I'm a little bit more attuned to it. They're pretty terrible, even though they look good. The audio is never correct. They never have the pacing.
It's going to get better. It's going to get way better.
It'll get better. I know. But so far, it's it's not perfect, but it doesn't have to be perfect to fool a lot of people. And this idea that there's going to be some ability to put little watermarks on everything that's artificially intelligence produced. So you'll know, it'll have a little thing at the bottom of the screen that you're looking at something that is not real. That was, you think that's no, they get around that. People get around that shit all the time.
Yeah.
They just do. They just do. All right. One last. All right. Now, Kaylee isn't Don's type either.
So from what I gather, she put out the wrong poll numbers or something, and that pissed him off by his record.
Correct. You're absolutely correct. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, that was kind of over the top. Of course it was. It was ridiculous. Trump attacks former press secretary after she says DeSantis is closing in on him in the polls. She went on Fox News and claimed that DeSantis was gaining on him. Trump called out Kaylee and used the nickname on her, Milquetoast, but he spelled Milquetoast, Milktoast. And Britt, let's have that same argument. Did he do that on purpose? Does he really know how to spell Milquetoast? Is he just funning with us? Or no, is this stupid?
This is how he connects with average Americans by doing shit like that. That's how he does it.
Exactly. He insisted and wanted you to know that he has a 34-point lead on DeSantis, not 25. And this is the kind of insult that in a second Donald Trump administration, Kaylee McEnany would have already been taken out and guillotined for that kind of mistake.
Sure.
And the accusation by Trump is that she is deliberately lying about the numbers. And he says rhinos and globalists can have her. See, this is the thing. This is not funny, but Kaylee McEnany is a piece of shit for everything she has done.
Correct.
Up to now, it had nothing to do with this. She shouldn't be who she is, where she is, doing what she's doing. She shouldn't have a place in polite society. She was one of several dreadful press secretaries for Trump. She is a liar. She has been in the tank for Trump all these years. And you know, Trump, who is, of course, melting down, can't even, again, this is just too stupid to sit there and try to argue with the fact that he really thinks that someone would deliberately give a wrong poll number to hurt him and that would hurt him. No one cares. So I think the only person who has he not attacked that was part of his first administration.
I think Kudlow, he's been kind of had kid gloves on. He hasn't really done anything to Kudlow, right?
Yet.
I mean, yeah, that is subject to change. I don't know if you know this, but his loyalty kind of runs any way the wind blows.
Right. Well, I think the shrinking circle of people around Trump, who Trump hasn't attacked, if you're left in that circle, that makes you the worst of the worst of the worst. In other words, no matter what Kaylee McEnany said, if it had some ring of truth to it, of course, remember what happens in Trump world. If you lie for Trump, good. If you come close or even get in the vicinity of the truth, you're in trouble. And this is just another example of that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
This is another example of it. You can't say this. So this gins up another fight with Fox, another fake fight with Fox. And all the people on Fox, they draw the circle and the wagons around Kaylee and said, Trump, you went too far this time. Blah, 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 blah. And they'll make up. And we haven't seen this one before, have we?
They wring their hands. Oh, I just wish the president wouldn't do this to loyal people. I just wish the president wouldn't make these personal attacks against Ron DeSantis. He can be such a great leader. But did you see that thing? Oh, now, this is this is something that Geraldo started, that whole thing about, you know what? Joe Biden should promise to pardon Trump if Trump will pledge not to run in 2024. I mean, really, I love Geraldo. I think Geraldo gets a lot of shit for the middle part of his career. But you got to be kidding me. I wouldn't trust if Trump promised me to breathe in the next 5 seconds, I wouldn't fucking believe him about that. Are you kidding me?
Well, that's tantamount to the will you accept the results of the 2024 election? And he still does the same thing. He says, oh, I'll accept them if I decide that they're fair. Okay. Yeah. Geraldo, I promise not to run if I decide not to run. Okay.
Okay. It's so stupid.
Thanks for the pardon, Joe. You know, it's again, forget about not negotiating with terrorists and things of that sort. All right. I got one last thing here.
Yeah.
And I have aggressively for the last week or so avoided watching minute by minute back and forth on the provisions and how they're negotiating the debt ceiling. I will read about them. I will not watch people talk about them because it gets you nowhere. It doesn't advance your brain or your life or your knowledge of the situation or get you closer to what is going to be the inevitable conclusion, which is that in the end, it's going to be not just a win, but it's going to look like a sweep by the Democrats, 4-0 in a 7-game series.
Wow.
When this passes through the House of Representatives on Wednesday night with a huge Democratic buy-in to get Kevin McCarthy over the line, because he's going to have who knows how many, 10, 20, 30, 40 of the craziest of the crazies stomping their feet and wailing and talking about the end of humanity because of this and blah, 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 blah. You know, these are the Marjorie Taylor Greens and Charles Chip Roy and Matt Gaetz and the rest of them, all of whom thought they had McCarthy down on the floor in order to get his gig a few months ago and that he would do their bidding and he would refuse and he would be willing to send the country into default and the world economy into depression in order to make sure that people who get food stamps in the United States have to keep working until they're 55 instead of 54. Okay. That was worth ruining the world. This is how they think. This is how these people think. And here's what it is. These people, and McCarthy's sort of guilty of this, but even at this hour, it looks like he realized exactly what his job in the end has to be, which is to not be the Speaker of the Republican Party, but he's the Speaker of the whole House of Representatives, and we're not going to have a default. He knows that, and he's responsibly acting that way. But these other people are acting as if the Republicans have a 75-seat majority in the House of Representatives, and they can impose their will on the country because of that. I guess they're jealous of state legislatures like North Carolina, where there is a veto-proof Republican majority that passes all kinds of shit. And same with these other states where they do the same thing, right? Ohio, Texas, places like that. Well, that's not the way it is in the U.S. Congress. It's very seldom there have been veto-proof majorities on either side going back as long as you can remember. It's hard to get that many, that big of a margin. They don't have it. And this is how the sausage is made. The sausage is being made, and the sausage is going to save our lives, whether they like it or not. So here's the cynical part of this. They get the luxury of voting no. These 30 or 40 or 50, whatever they are, Republicans, they get the luxury of doing that so they can say that they are pure of heart, that they are pure to the cause, yet at the same time, they don't have to see their stock portfolios go down by 50% either. They get the benefit of what's going to happen, but they don't have to carry the baggage of really doing the right thing. They can pretend they are to their gerrymandered district where they got elected by 30 points.
What was the TCBY slogan? All the pleasure, none of the guilt, right? And let's be very clear. We're not really having a policy discussion. We're not really. I mean, I know it's being framed as that. It's not really a policy discussion about, well, one philosophy says that we should spend a lot of money and the other people think that we shouldn't spend a lot of money and really take care of taxpayers. That's not what we're debating. We have a bunch of pedantic morons, as you point out, who want to stomp their feet and seem like they're heroes to the folks back in their districts. That's it. Because they did not give a shit, as has been pointed out by numerous people. There was a lot of spending that went on during the Trump years. They didn't have a problem spending the fuck out of some money and blowing a hole in the budget with a tax cut that went mostly to rich folks and to corporations. Didn't have a problem with that. But now all of a sudden they got religion when it comes to spending money. We're not really having a policy decision. And now McCarthy's problem is that he's given tremendous power to those idiots. And he's got to deal with that. And they'll shove him out the door. And then next guy up, I don't know if it's Steve Scalise, I don't know who it is. Guess what? Spoiler alert, same shit's going to happen to him. When it's time to make an adult decision, they'll get pissed off at him and they'll show him the door. They ran Paul Ryan out. They ran John Boehner out. They just continued. Everybody, they just fucking run them out.
But this turns on Republicans in the next election starkly because Democrats get to run and Joe Biden gets to run for re-election on being the responsible people who save the country. They just are. They're going to be able to do that.
It's exceptionally frustrating to me that if everything just kind of holds course and stays the way it is for the next, whatever, 16 months, Joe Biden could run on one of the strongest economic realities that any president's ever run on. One of the strongest economic records in a first term we've ever seen, but he can't do that.
I wouldn't even.
You can't do it.
Venture to do that, Britt. I wouldn't say that because right now there is underneath of what you see on the surface, there are a lot of things that are slowing down a lot. And in 16 months, if unemployment, and this is ridiculous, but it's true. If unemployment goes from, I guess it's 3.5%, if it goes to 4.5%, Republicans will act as if this is the end of the world, worst economy in the history of the world. But yeah, and you know that. They're good at lying. They're good at lying.
But it's the lowest unemployment rate we've had since the 60s. It's
crazy. It doesn't matter. It's what's the unemployment rate the day of the election? The few weeks people are sending in their ballots.
I know.
That's what matters. It isn't what did he do in his first year and the Inflation Reduction Act.
It's the lowest unemployment rate we've ever had.
It doesn't matter.
Objectively, it is a strong economic, like you said, it could all die in the next year and a half and, you know, dogs and cats sleeping together, et cetera, et cetera. But Jesus, that's what's exceptionally frustrating to me.